Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Michael Blake to the broadcast. Mike is the CIO at Hyatt Hotels Corporation. In concert with other senior leaders, he's responsible for driving innovation and supporting revenue growth, as well as managing the evolution of Hyatt's global IT function. Prior to his current role, Mike was Vice President of Finance Global Marketing, Brand Standards, and IT for Hyatt Corporation. He has over 20 years of experience in finance and technology in various roles, including time as Senior Vice President of IT at First Data, VP of IT Finance at Kaiser Permanente, and Director of IT Finance at Sears. In each of these roles, he was the highest-ranking IT finance resource and key internal consultant and advisor to national senior leadership teams. Mike has an MBA with a concentration on finance and economics from the University of Chicago Graduate School of Business, and he also has a Master's of Science degree in Information Technology from Northwestern University. I recently caught up with Mike in his office in Chicago, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 2, Infrastructure, as we spoke about Mike's priorities relative to security, Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as we discussed the many constituents that Hyatt IT works with, the path to innovation, and the institution of product line leaders, Principle 5, External Partnerships, as we discussed the ecosystem of partners that Mike has created, along with some other topics. Blake, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
It's great to be here, Peter.
Mike, yours is an organization that doesn't need a lot of introduction, Hyatt Hotels, and of course you're the Chief Information Officer of that organization. I wonder if you could tell us a bit about the organization, about your role in the organization, as well as your priorities for the foreseeable future.
I'd be more than happy to, Peter. Hyatt Hotels organization has 468 hotels in our chain currently and growing. So my goal within the next foreseeable future is really on a fourfold front. One is to manage security. We are one of the few chains that have global PCI compliance, and we want to maintain that. We also are looking at tokenization. So security is extremely important to us. We're also looking at sustaining our growth. As we are on a high growth trajectory, we are adding at least 1 to 2 hotels every month. So it is very important for us that our IT infrastructure is flexible enough and agile enough to continue on that growth perspective. We also want to add a great deal of associate enhancements. So we want to make associates' lives much easier through technology. I think some of the things that we were able to bring to folks is probably the world-class collaborative platform of Office 365, and one of our priorities is to ensure that that gets rolled out worldwide. We have a full 17,000 plus folks here in North America on that platform, and we're going to have another 14,000 on the international side. And then finally, what we're also looking at in the foreseeable future is customer and owner satisfaction. And, you know, the customers are folks that are listening now and yourself, and we feel very strongly that we can differentiate the product experience through technology. And there's a handful of things that are coming down. One is we're making a big stake in IPTV, and we feel very strongly that, you know, people will bring their own content in, and they want to have access to content. And we want to allow them to do that on a nice 42-inch plus HD TV screen. So we do feel that that window in the room is going to be very powerful for folks. And we're also looking at, as we consistently do, evaluating how do we bring our products and offering at a lower cost, because I believe our owners are consistently looking for ways that we can improve the overall guest experience, yet on the flip side, continue to bring down costs year over year.
Thank you for that overview, Mike. And it strikes me as you run through the list how much IT becomes more prominent in hospitality now than perhaps in days past, as it's part of the efficiency, part of the user satisfaction, part of what makes the hotel run and so forth.
So it seems like quite a bit of what you've talked about, a lot of what's planned for the future is going to be brought to life with the use of IT.
Absolutely, Peter. We feel pretty strongly that technology is an enabler to the entire experience. And it's actually growing to be more than just an enabler. It's going to be part and parcel to the way people stay and how they want to consume content and how they want to live their lives. Traditionally, in the past, many of our associates didn't have access to technology. Now technology is coming in mobile form factors, which are lower cost. So you're going to see housekeeping with mobile forms, and you're going to see bellhops with mobile technology that in the past it wasn't traditional in our theater to have that.
Very interesting. As you ran through some of your priorities for the foreseeable future, Mike, you also spoke about several different constituents that you have. And I find that very interesting in your business, how many constituents you need to think about. There are, of course, your fellow corporate employees, there are the franchisees, there are the end customers, which you just spoke so cogently about, and some of the needs that they will have that you're anticipating that you're hoping to address. How do you manage the priorities and the needs and the plans and the demands of those various constituents? How do you keep your ear to the ground and your team's collective ear to the ground to make sure that you are either even with those needs or even ahead of and anticipating those needs?
Yeah, Peter, there is definitely an insatiable amount of demand for projects and IT in what we do. Let me answer that in two ways, because I think there's one way, which we'll get into more in the world of our ecosystem of partners. So what we try to do strategically is align ourselves with fantastic product offerings that in and of themselves will introduce innovation through their own product cycle. And what we try to do is get involved in the product cycle for those individual things which Hyatt will demand. And so that's one of our strategies, and we'll talk some more about that ecosystem. But the other thing we do is have the more traditional steering committee platform where we do most of our high-level demands and project work, where our senior leaders, because we have a very tight and intimate relationship with all our constituents and our business leads, and we understand where they're going and where they want to move the product portfolio, and we basically rack and stack and prioritize, and we meet on a quarterly basis, sometimes sooner if we need to, and adjust the project flow. So it's a very dynamic way of performing a lot of the IT that we do, because many of the things within the context of Hyatt, we don't have many self-developed applications. In fact, in my portfolio, we only have two. One's a group sales product and the other one's reservations. The other products we have are somewhat off the shelf. And with that capability, what we're able to do is integrate quicker than I think most organizations and be a little more agile, because there isn't a lot of this overhang of legacy software that's hanging over our heads.
That makes an awful lot of sense. So keeping things simple, making sure that they're up to date is actually in some ways a means of fostering both efficiency but also effectiveness. Is that right?
That's absolutely right, Peter. And we also look at it as if we're able to work with some of our larger partners, we are able to actually get into the product life cycle and actually introduce innovation with our partners and introduce innovations that will help us. So we're actually following along lockstep with them to introduce, you know, on the next upgrade, how we can utilize that. So it's a little different way of doing IT. You know, some would argue we're not as nimble as if we'd self-developed, but I almost argue that many of the products that we're involved with have a much larger development team than we have, and the products that they release on a natural cadence are actually quicker than if we could do it ourselves.
Yes, and you've now mentioned a couple times this ecosystem of partners. Can you tell us a bit about how that works? How did you think about the ones that you selected? What kinds of skills did you need? I imagine that there were some skills, therefore, that went away that once resided within your IT department, but I would also imagine that some other ones, like vendor management, for instance, became much more important. Can you talk a little bit about the way in which you formulated your strategy with regard to the ecosystem of partners?
Absolutely, because I think the ecosystem of partners was a natural outcropping of best of breed. Right. So we're looking at those leaders in each particular space where we could figure out, okay, who does the best at what we can do, and let's introduce that within our environment. What that ends up doing is there's a lot of skill sets that you're absolutely right, Peter, you don't need as much anymore. There isn't a huge emphasis on development. We have very few, if not, if I think to myself, not a lot of my staff are true developers. What we need are people more in the realm of vendor management and from the business. So you're beginning to look at more of the business analysis skills and being able to marry that which the business needs with that which the IT vendor is able to deliver. So you have very close bonds between the business and the vendor, and what you end up happening is you get very close in their development cycle, as I mentioned before, and you actually start tailoring that product with somebody else's resources to meet your needs. And these are some very big partners that we deal with. So they are very well capitalized. They are very well focused on delivering industry-related solutions. And with that, you're able to leverage a much greater innovation than probably on a standalone basis we could afford. I think one of the things that I always like to say is one of the most important people on my team is actually my procurement director. So my procurement director is part and parcel to almost every negotiation that we hold. And a lot of the things we spend a lot of time around are things like ownership of intellectual property, where do we go with future. The future, which is so ambiguous, is very important in many of our discussions and how things are going to get licensed. And we spend a lot of time trying to get to commercial terms of technology as opposed to actually developing the technology.
What a great depiction of that, Mike. And it occurs to me also, I imagine that the ecosystem is made up mostly of names we would all recognize. I like how you began that with an introduction to the emphasis in business analysis, as I imagine the key differentiator or the way in which this proves its success is making sure that there is that logical translator from your business constituents, your varied constituents' needs, and then what your partners are going to do on your behalf, the work that they're going to do that will fulfill those needs. That translation, I imagine, becomes so much more critical. Is that correct?
You're absolutely correct, Peter. I mean, when we look at those folks, and we call them product line leaders, so it's very analogous to a product line lead within marketing. So, for example, I had a friend of mine who was a product line lead for Kingsford Charcoal, right? So he didn't make the charcoal. He didn't make sure that it got on the store's shelves. He didn't distribute it. He didn't, you know, actually do the press or any of the commercials or what have you. But his sole responsibility was to ensure that that product line all came together. And that's what our IT folks are doing now. They're the ones who are responsible. So, for example, we have a product line lead for email. They're responsible to ensuring that Microsoft does what they're supposed to do in the email space. They're responsible to ensure that all of the folks who should be doing things around security, around the GAD, and all the things that relate to email, that individual is ultimately accountable for that. All these other folks are responsible, but they're ultimately accountable.
Makes very good sense. You also brought up a few moments ago the various sources of innovation and the fact that that is, in fact, a priority for your organization as well. It's an imperative for the ecosystem. It's a driver, I suppose, of the product line leaders, as you just pointed out. Can you talk a bit about how you've pursued innovation? And I would love to hear some examples, perhaps, of some of what you're doing that qualifies as innovation.
Sure. I think the beauty of having 468 different properties out there and multiple constituents is that you're never short of having good ideas floated to you. And one of the problems that we had at Hyatt is we had a lot of good ideas, but not a lot of folks really focused on bringing those ideas to market. And so what I did very early in my tenure was actually split out some resources that focused on innovation. And it's not much, Peter. It's, you know, two or three people. But those three folks really focused on bringing these ideas to market. And one of the things that they're working on, which I think will make, you know, heavy travelers who want not to have to check in the front desk, will absolutely alleviate the burden of having to check in the front desk. And it's all around something as mundane as a lock system. one of the things that the innovation group is working on is trying to figure out how can we eliminate going to a front desk to get a physical key to open up a hotel room lock. And what we've done in two hotels now, we put together an online lock system that I can give you a remote RFID. And I think the RFID is only a temporary to when we ultimately get to NFC technology. So what we're trying to do is try to catch the future on a lot of our innovation to make sure that, you know, this is the state of technology today and what's the state in the future. And let's make sure that we bring the lowest cost to our owners, because our owners don't want to keep flipping and making different investments in, you know, the technology of the day. We want to kind of future-proof a lot of the things that we're doing. So this innovation group is future-proofing the lock set by speccing out a lock set that's extremely powerful today, and with a slight modification, we'll be ready for the next wave in the future. So the view of it, Peter, is one day I will send you a message, and with your phone, you'll be able to walk up, apply your phone close to the lock, and you're in.
Wow.
And that's only if you choose to. If you want to go to the front desk, you can still go to the front desk. But you and I are fairly frequent travelers. Sometimes you just want to go right to your room. So make sure, you know, and even if we have those off-schedule crazy times, right, when we're rolling in at 11:30 at night, we want to just make sure we have a room available and we can just roll right into it. This technology will enable that.
Wow, that sounds very powerful. As a frequent traveler, that would be an extraordinary value, I would say. So what an exciting idea to hear about. You actually mentioned a topic that I wanted to turn to, and that is you talked about the need to influence your various customers. I know in the past you've referred to yourself as a CIO of good suggestions, the meaning of which was that you need to suggest to your constituents what they might do. You can't really demand that they do things. And I think that's a really interesting, I can only imagine, a very interesting and very different relative to a lot of your peers in other industries, way of operating, due to the fact that Hyatt doesn't own all of its hotels, similar to other large hotel organizations. A lot of it's franchised, and the franchisees therefore have a lot of liberty as to what they can do, what they want to do. So how do you attempt to influence these constituents to do what you believe is to be the right thing?
Yeah, and it sounds cliche, Peter, but a lot of it is built on trust and bringing out good ideas, right? Because I think everybody is trying to do, quote, the right thing. I don't think anybody comes into work and says, I want to be aberrant and I want to put bad technology out there at a high cost. So I don't think anybody wakes up and wants to do that. So with that said, I think we always try to get to that which is reasonable. And, you know, a lot of the solutions that my group are working on and that we bring to the market are a lower cost, that are faster, that are absolutely better than what the status quo is. So when you bring to somebody an argument that says, look, whoever you are, whether you're a franchisee, whether we're a managed hotel or whether you're an owned hotel, if I tell you, look, you can continue to operate it where you're at, or I can give you a faster, better solution at a lower cost, what would you rather do? Would you rather have A or B? And, you know, sometimes we get into competing priorities and what have you, but at the end of the day, I think most people are reasonable and want to get to a better state and get to solutions which are fairly modern. And that's kind of the beauty of working in technology is, you know, one of the truisms is you know that something's going to be faster and cheaper in the future than it is today.
That's true. Exactly. And speaking of the future, I'd love to conclude with asking you a bit about IT trends. You've mentioned a few of them already, but are there others that particularly excite you? And if so, how do you foresee applying those to your business?
Yeah, one of the trends that I think, once again, often used and often cliched these times are the cloud and mobile. And let me just spend a couple minutes on both of them, because I think, you know, the cloud is interesting to us, and maybe we're looking at the cloud a little bit differently, because I look at the cloud as a way of capturing economies of scale. All right. Hyatt as a hotel chain has a fantastic brand. But once again, as I said, we only have 468 properties. That's not as much as many of the leading competitors out there. So I need to somehow obtain the same scale as my competitors without having the same number of properties. So how do you do that? Well, one of the ways we can do that is to start moving into a world of these semi-private or public clouds where all of a sudden our costs for infrastructure start dropping significantly because our assets are pooled with others. Now, we're working through the security concerns and what have you, but that fits very nicely in the model that we have consistently embraced here. Because if we're looking, as we talked about before, these best-of-breed solutions, the second part of those best-of-breed solutions is we look very closely for those who build those best-of-breed solutions to also host them. So you start getting into that world of hosting and cloud, and it all starts to converge. So we're very excited about the commercial propositions around the cloud and being able to bring that to our ownership at a lower cost at a much better product. And then the second one we talked about is a little bit is mobile. And I think mobile, one of the powerful things I see about mobile is, especially for our associates, is that you're bringing technology to folks who didn't have them before. So these are capabilities that, you know, whether it's an iPad or whether it's an actual smartphone, you're bringing folks like in the front desk to have that level of mobility that they didn't have before to make you as a customer, your life much easier. So we introduced very recently a mobile line buster on the iPad. And now we're even going as far as extending that. So many of our hotels have, you know, buses that ferry you from the airport. Now that mobile tablet is on that bus. So we can actually check you in before you actually get to the hotel and give you a key and take your credit card all over a very secured transmission, which is PCI compliant. So all of these things that I'm very excited about is we're moving the transactions away from the traditional points of congestion that you have in the hotel, making everybody's life easier.
It's energizing, again, as a business traveler to hear about so many new ideas that are going to make my life easier when staying at Hyatt hotels. So it's certainly an exciting aspect of listening to all that you've described, Mike.
We absolutely do care, Peter, and we want to make a difference.
Well, that's very evident. Well, Mike Blake, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation and so wonderful to hear more about your various insights as to what makes your IT department special.
Thank you for the opportunity, Peter. I appreciate it. And once again, as I tell everyone, be well, do well.
Just listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. Our editors are Chris Davis and Calhan Kuhl, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.